Hi there, listeners. It's Farnoosh, and I just want to say I'm really honored that you've chosen to subscribe to So Money. I know there are a lot of podcasts out there. The fact that you're here is not lost on me. Now, if you're enjoying these episodes and you're benefiting from the advice and you want more, I've actually created something really special for us. It's called the So Money Members Club. It's an online platform where you can connect more closely with me and engage with fellow So Money fans who want to become more empowered in their financial lives. The website is SoMoneyMembers.com. And when you go there, you'll learn all the benefits, including exclusive monthly finance workshops, private group calls with me. You get your questions answered in our member community. I'm often in there weighing in, and you get instant access to all of our workshop recordings. We have a robust library that's growing. So far, we've had workshops on investing in real estate, kids and money, and how to earn more in 2024. And most of all, it's fun, positive, encouraging, all the things personal finance should be. Go to SoMoneyMembers.com, and I hope you'll join us. I'm limiting enrollment, and doors will close soon. Check out SoMoneyMembers.com. Did you know that I'm a podcast host and also a mind reader? Because I know that you want to grow your portfolio, to deal with the rising costs of inflation, to pay off your debt or your mortgage. You want to attack pretty much anything standing in the way of you and your financial freedom, right? Well, here's one solution: more knowledge. This podcast helps, I hope. And you can use Yahoo Finance, where you can get access to the news, data, and tools that you need to help reach your definition of financial freedom. For more than 25 years, Yahoo Finance has been the brand behind every great investor. They're the number one finance destination, and I know because I worked there for many years, producing a holistic look at the financial news cycle, including breaking news, original editorial perspectives, analyst ratings, customizable charts, so much more. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit the brand behind every great investor, yahoofinance.com. The number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com. That's yahoofinance.com. Hosting the So Money podcast for almost 10 years, I've been learning a lot about how to best serve you outside the show. I've begun to offer pop-up workshops and a So Money members club. And with each new line of business, a lot goes on behind every transaction. Stripe helps simplify and ease payments with Tap to Pay on iPhone, which helps me grow revenue and reach through accepting more in-person contactless payments when I'm out in real life promoting my programs. Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe give me the ability to scale quickly and stay flexible with quick setup and no additional hardware required. And it's not just ideal for me. From local pop-ups to global retailers, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe help businesses of all sizes accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. Whether your customers want to use their card, Apple Pay, or other digital wallet, now you can accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone. So Money episode 428, Ask Farnoosh.
You're listening to So Money with award-winning money guru Farnoosh Torabi. Each day, get a 30-minute dose of financial inspiration from the world's top business minds, authors, influencers, and from Farnoosh herself. Looking for ways to save on gas or double your double coupons? Sorry, you're in the wrong place. Seeking profound ways to live a richer, happier life? Welcome to So Money.
So Money is brought to you today by Wealthfront, the most tax-efficient, low-cost, hassle-free way to invest. Visit wealthfront.com/so money. Welcome back to So Money, or welcome for the first time. If you're joining us for the very first time, we are happy to have you. I'm your host, Farnoosh Torabi. It's Friday, June 10th. And because it's a Friday, it's Ask Farnoosh time, where we have been sifting through all of our emails. And thank you to everyone for sending in questions at farnoosh@somoneypodcast.com. That's the best way to reach me. And we've got a lot to go through. And as always, my partner in crime here, Sophia, my trusted assistant, who has been, over a year you've been with me by now. So I guess that's great, right? That's a pretty good milestone.
Oh, yeah. It's very exciting.
Very exciting.
No, it is. And it went by so quickly. I honestly can't believe it's been over a year now.
I know. And so much, of course, in the last year. And I'm excited to see what's ahead. What are your plans this weekend, Sophia?
I think this weekend I'm just going to go up to my parents' house in Connecticut, get out of the city, enjoy some fresh air. What about you?
Good for you. We are going to be having part two of three of Evan's second birthday. So Evan turns two on the 21st of June, but already we've celebrated in California with my parents. And now this weekend, we're going to be at my husband's family's home. And that'll be fun too, because there'll be some kids there. There weren't any kids at my parents' little pizza party, but this one, we'll have some kids. I got a really fun cake. So, you know, he doesn't understand any of it. It's really
of course not.
It's just the adults, you know, and I'm thinking, and then he's like, he's got his actual birthday party on the 21st in our building in Brooklyn, where he's got all his little friends that are going to come, and I'm going to have a little pizza party for them.
That's, you know,
kids, so cute. Kids eat a lot of pizza at this age.
They do. I'm sure they do.
And wow, for the rest of their life. That's why I cannot shed these last 5 baby pounds, probably, is because I've just been eating cake and cupcakes and pizza at all the different birthday gatherings. But it should be a lot of fun. It's always nice to go and visit my husband's family. And, you know, they live like in rural Pennsylvania, which is it's not too rural, but it's, there's a city there, but it's Amish town. So it's really cool because you get to see the Amish community and the horses. And I'm fascinated by that whole world. I would love to get an Amish person on this podcast. I'm pretty sure that's never going to happen.
Because they don't really work with technology, do they?
Well, some do to some extent and some do not at all. They do still, for example, take the train. In some cases, they shop at Costco.
Right.
They may have cell phones. I don't know. I don't want to speak for the Amish community, but I feel like, you know, some of them may, have some ways of like phones, you know, because like, I can't imagine, how do you get in touch with people?
I know, especially in this day and age, I couldn't imagine life without my cell phone.
Right. Like I was at the, this is a quick story. I was at the train station in Lancaster, Pennsylvania one time, and I shared the train with an Amish family. I got off and waited for my mother-in-law to pick me up, and they waited for their horse-drawn carriage to come pick them up. But I was like, what if there was like a delay, or what if they came late or early? How would they tell their friend or their family member, you know, that I guess they don't. They just like good old days, like old fashioned waiting. Show up and you wait and you cross your fingers that they're going to get there sometime in the next hour or 10. But yeah, it's the things like that that I just think are so fascinating that people are able to live productive lives. I mean, the Amish, they're very productive. They're very wealthy. They're, you know, just a fascinating culture community. And I think I would love to interview someone. Maybe it'll have to be off camera, but I've always wanted to figure out a way. So figure it out, Sophia.
I will. Start doing my research.
How can we get the Amish on So Money? If anyone out there has an idea, please let me know. That was not what I was planning on talking to you about, but it turns out it's pretty interesting, right? So
it is.
That's what I have to look forward to this weekend. And another cool thing that happened this week was I had a cool chance to spend some time with some fellow Penn Staters at an event on Thursday night in the city. I promoted it on Twitter. If you're an alum, you are welcome to come. And it was a nice little turnout. Penn State's always been a big fan of my work and very nice to me. And that's why I give them the big bucks. It's a nice little, you know, exchange we have going on. I donate, then they have little dinner parties for me, which is nice because then I get to like promote the book and connect with people from my school, which is a huge network here in New York City. I mean, like hundreds of thousands of people, I think, over the years.
Actually, it's so funny. My boyfriend's coworker went to Penn State.
I feel like if you're 1 degree of separation from somebody who went to Penn State, if you didn't go yourself. Yeah.
Always.
It's like, we have, I think, the largest alumni network in New York City than any other academic institution. I mean, we graduate 40,000 people a year. So, or was it? No, 40. When I was there, there were about 50,000 kids on campus, and that was just the main campus. There's all the tons of satellite campuses. Okay, I digress again. I now think it's time to go to the mailbag and start with our questions of the week. What do we have so far?
All right. So our first question is from Caitlin. She writes in, and her question is about credit card debt. Her and her husband have about $5,000 in credit card debt, and they just got married, actually, and received $5,000 in cash and wanted to know if they should keep that for an emergency fund or maybe use it to pay off some debt. And they also have $5,000 line of credit from their bank, which has a lower interest rate than their credit card. She wants you to recommend what she should do.
Well, congratulations on getting married. I think, look, you got a nice little windfall here, $5,000. And it just so happens you have $5,000 in credit card debt. I think the universe is telling you something, Caitlin. I think I would, as much as maybe it would be more ideal if you had savings, you know, and then you could say, okay, well, I have savings. So obviously I have to put it towards credit card debt. But my feeling is that you get rid of this credit card debt, you get rid of not just the debt, but the anxiety and the stress that goes along with it. And then whatever monthly payment you were putting towards that debt, that now becomes the savings for your emergency fund every month, on top of anything else that you can contribute to the savings. If you have nothing, it's really important to get going on that savings account. And at the minimum, whatever you were putting towards credit card debt, after this $5,000 gets wiped out, imagine it's still there to some extent, but put it towards savings, if that makes sense. And then the $5,000 line of credit from your bank, that's nice, but, you know, just have that there in case of an emergency. And that could be not your savings account. I wouldn't want that to substitute as an emergency account with real cash. But if there's a real, real, real emergency in the next 6 months before you're able to shore up a lot in your emergency savings, that could be a nice alternative for you, especially if it has a low interest rate. You know, in case of emergency, you can break open that glass. But I would much prefer that you get rid of this high interest rate credit card debt with the windfall, start aggressively saving for your own emergency fund, and then have that line of credit out there available to you in case of like a real disaster, which I hope never happens. But, you know, it's nice to know that's there. It's low interest, but don't just start using it because, you know, it's there and you want stuff. But I trust you'll make the right decision. Caitlin, thanks so much for your question. And thank you for listening to it every day. That's huge. How do you like that we've gone to 3 days? Are you missing the 5 day per week? Are you missing the 7 days per week? I hope not, because I'm never going back to that. Never. I can't do it. Neither can you, Sophia. That was a lot of work for the two of us.
It was. I am happy that we're down to three. Yeah.
Much happier, I have to say. Like, it's been, I hope you're enjoying it, because it's been great for us. It's opened up a lot of free time to do other projects that we're really excited about. So thanks, Caitlin. And I see we have a question from Taylor.
Yeah, Taylor writes in and says, thank you so much for giving some solid advice on IRAs. Taylor's thinking of converting his 401k into an IRA next month. So wants to know, what are your top tips or habits for getting the most out of an IRA? Are there any episodes that maybe he should go back to?
I don't recall any specific episodes that were a lot about IRAs, although check out anything with like Sophia Barra or Brittany Castro, or who else, you know, my financial advisor friends that come on from time to time, sometimes on Ask Farnoosh. I think almost always we end up talking about IRAs because retirement is such an important topic and it does come up a lot in the questions. But I think to get the most out of your IRA, it's simply to max it out every year. And this year, I believe the limit, if you're under the age of 50, is $5,500, as far as being able to contribute an amount that will then reduce your taxable income in the current calendar year. So that's one way. And then, you know, I understand you're converting here. So 401k into an IRA, just make sure that that is a direct rollover, that you're not getting a check in the mail from your 401k company, because in that case, and it probably won't happen, but just be very specific that that money gets directly transferred into the new IRA. And if it doesn't, the risk you run there is that it's going to go down as an early withdrawal
And with that comes penalties and, of course, taxes. So just make sure that it is a seamless direct rollover. And you can work through your existing IRA company and, of course, your 401k provider, your previous 401k provider, to make sure that that is what happens. But I mean, that's it. I would just say that after you do the rollover, that you continue to invest in this IRA. And even if you get a new job that has a 401k, that you do both. You know, because the 401k might have different kinds of investments. You can invest more in a 401k. There might be a match, which would be really great. And then the IRA, I would say, would be a supplement, but not to be something that, you know, you do once in a while, that you really commit to maxing it out as much as possible. Okay. Need a website? Why not do it yourself with Wix.com? No matter what business you're in, Wix.com has something for you. Used by more than 84 million people worldwide, Wix.com makes it easy to get your website live today. You need to get the word out about your business. It all starts with a stunning website. With hundreds of designer-made, customizable templates to choose from, the drag-and-drop editor, there's no coding needed. You don't need to be a programmer or designer to create something beautiful. You can do it yourself with Wix.com. Wix.com empowers business owners to create their own professional websites every day. When you're running your own business, you're bound to be busy. Too busy. Too busy worrying about your budget. Too busy scheduling appointments. Too busy to build a website for your business. And because you're too busy, it has to be easy. And that's where Wix.com comes in. With Wix.com, it's easy and free. Go to Wix.com to create your website today. The result is stunning.
All right. So the next question comes from Mitali. Her and her husband both have very comfortable incomes. They currently own a townhouse and have a 30-year mortgage, but they're thinking of maybe investing in a rental property in downtown Chicago. And if everything works out, they're hoping that that rental income might be able to help take care of their mortgage payment and maybe some other expenses. And so they're wondering if maybe this would be a good investment. They're expecting a child this year, and Mitali is also considering maybe going back to school part-time, so not sure if this might be the best investment opportunity.
Wow. Okay. So they're having a baby? That just, for me, that jumped out because I've been there. And how exciting. Congratulations, Mitali. You guys must be over the moon. I know lots of emotions, lots of preparation, and probably a little bit of stress, right? Because there is this unknown factor called, like, what is it going to cost to afford a child? And you know that it's probably not going to be inexpensive. I'll tell you that much. It's not inexpensive. So I don't know. I feel as though unless you're just loaded, you have so much money, there's so much to go around that you could comfortably afford this rental property, and you could comfortably have a lot of savings for your child that's about to be born, and you can comfortably make all of your monthly expenses, and then there's even some money left over, then yeah, I mean, sounds like you, that's a, would be a great investment opportunity. But, and you know, you also mentioned that in addition to having this child, you're also thinking about going back to school part-time. What's that going to cost like? So honestly, Mitali, I would just say sit down with an Excel spreadsheet or a pen and paper, good old fashioned pen and paper, and write down all of your current expenses, your fixed current expenses that probably aren't going to change, like your mortgage and your other living expenses. And then also account for all of the future expenses. You know, if you go to babycenter.com, I like going there sometimes because they have these calculators that will help you assess what it may cost to raise your child in the first year. If you're planning on having childcare, breastfeeding versus formula, all of that stuff costs money, and but different types of money. So it's important to kind of maybe get a sense of ballpark figure how much you want to have set aside for those expenses. And then, of course, grad school. What's it going to cost if you go back part-time? And then from there, I think you may be able to better assess on your own whether this rental property investment is really something that is feasible. And it may be that just now is not the right time because you have a lot of balls in the air. And with unknown expenses around the corner, it's just better to have cash on hand for that as opposed to, you know, putting it into this rental property. Even though you'll be, you know, cash flow positive, you still got to find a renter. You know, there's a lot of not just money here that has to be put to work, but time and effort that has to be put to work. And if you've got other things on your plate, you know, it's a serious investment, a rental property. It requires a lot of focus and dedication. And so this space may not be the best time, but I don't want to, you know, I don't want to be the party pooper here. I think that first and foremost, just go and run the numbers and be conservative. You know, really, if you, I would say whatever you come up with in terms of child costs in the first year, maybe, you know, add an extra 10 or 20% just because you don't know. You don't, just don't know. Same with school. Really look at options there. You know, maybe it's, there's a few different schools with a few different financial options. Maybe there's like grants you can get, fellowships, things like that to make it more affordable. And if that's the case and you, there was a lot of money left over, then the investment property sounds great. I think the investment property in and of itself sounds like a great idea, but all the other chips have to fall into place, right? And I think you know that. So I hope I've given you some sense of direction. I'm sorry, I can't say like yes or no for sure here, but I think if that's what I would do if I were you, I would go back and just really be clear on the numbers. All right.
All right. So the next person actually writes in and he's following up on a question that he had a couple of weeks ago. It's from Phil.
I love follow-ups. This is great. They're following directions. I love when people follow up because I hate like giving advice and then I don't know if did they take it? Did it work? Did it not work? Am I full of crap?
Well, Phil writes in and he wants you to know he's one of your ambitious, talented male listeners. And he writes in saying, I asked if advice regarding a yearly review and salary negotiation and wanted to say thank you so much for the advice. It was very thorough and detailed. And what actually ended up happening to him was both good and bad. They did his review last month and they actually increased his pay by 29%. However, he was kind of disappointed because he couldn't practice his negotiating skills. But nevertheless, he wanted you to know the podcast is awesome and to keep up the good work.
All right. Well, I mean, yes, maybe you didn't get the chance to negotiate, but you didn't have to like go through the, it's an ordeal, you know? I mean, like we want to negotiate and it's important to practice, but what's better is you just got what you wanted, you know, a much quicker solution here. They just gave it to you. And I bet they knew that you were somebody who deserved it and it was worth it. And, you know, maybe you didn't negotiate directly, but perhaps through your presence and through your work and through your ambition, they saw that. And that was like kind of a silent negotiation that you did there, right? Because it was like you really showing up for work. And sometimes, you know, the negotiation is not just the back and forth in the room, in the one scenario, in the one instance. Sometimes, you know, remember your output at work, you're negotiating for your job every single day. When you do a good job and you lead well and you fulfill goals and you really show yourself well at work, that every day you're winning and every day you're leaving an impression to the people who are in a position to give you more money, give you a promotion. So every day you're in a position to negotiate in some way, even though there's not that back and forth, but to really like, you know, prove yourself. And that's really what a negotiation is proving yourself and making a case for yourself. And so I think you should deserve more credit, Phil. I think that, you know, maybe next time you'll be able to really, you know, duke it out in a negotiating room and get even a bigger raise, but enjoy it, man. 29%. That's a huge, huge bump. So congratulations. I hope you're going to save some of that money and I hope you have some fun with that money. I hope you're going to go on like a nice little vacation or something, or buy yourself something nice and pretty, but better the vacation, because we know that inanimate objects do not actually lead to happiness. But I'm glad the podcast is working for you. And thanks for the follow up.
All right. So the next question comes from Ashley, who you also answered one of her question a couple weeks ago, but now she's back with another question.
She's back
and ready to ask another question. She writes in that she recently bought a car and pulled her credit score from Experian and was actually excited to find out that her score was in the top 10% of the country. But that being said, a few weeks later in the mail, she received a letter from TransUnion saying that her score was a bit lower. So she wants to know what gives and how do you accurately know your score? Should she maybe pull from each and average it out?
All right. So this happens sometimes. Note that there are three major credit reporting agencies, Experian, Equifax, TransUnion. They don't all work together. They make the same effort to calculate your, to calculate your score and to compile your credit information. Sometimes they compile things differently at different times. And so they're not all going to have the same exact information at the same exact time. But if there's a huge discrepancy, I would first pull my credit report from all three major credit reporting agencies. You can go to annualcreditreport.com and do that once a year for free from all three agencies and just do an apples to apples comparison. And if there's a really big difference in what TransUnion's reporting versus, was it Experian or Equifax?
Experian.
So that may mean that there's something on your TransUnion credit report that is either wrong or inaccurate or missing. And that's something for you to discover. So do that. That's the first step. Go to annualcreditreport.com, pull all of your credit reports. And I would even pull the third credit report from the agency that you haven't really explored. Like pull all of them and just see what's going on. And that might give you your answer. And if you do notice a mistake, there are ways to correct mistakes. And the best way is to contact the credit reporting agency, whether in this case it's TransUnion or the other one, and let them know that there's a mistake. And you can go onto their websites and there's actually forms online that you can fill out to make the claim, to dispute. And I believe they have just a limited number of days to research your claim and come back to you with either a correction or an explanation for why the report is the way it is. Once, let's say they say, okay, well, actually, it's a mistake, our bad. They have to then, it's their responsibility to contact all the other credit reporting agencies to make sure they don't make the same mistake. And if they do, that they have to also get rid of it. So I'm sorry to say there's a little bit of work here for you that you probably should pull your credit reports and just check the information. Check little things too, like do they have your address correct? You know, is your social security number correct? Are the accounts listed all your accounts? Gosh, you know, I would hate to find out. You'd hate to find out that like maybe your identity's been stolen. I don't think that's the case. It doesn't sound like that's what's going on. But good advice for everybody. You know, once a year, it's free. Why not go on to annualcreditreport.com, pull your credit reports, just make sure everything is correct. I read a survey one time, Sophia, that I don't know, something crazy like 25% or more of credit reports have mistakes. Again, it could be as minor as, you know, a misspelling of your name or a wrong address, apartment number or something, but it could be as serious as opened accounts that you did not open, which
I believe
indicates
it.
Something even more serious going on. So just check, because this is only your responsibility. And hopefully it's just something that can be corrected quickly. But it's good that you're doing this now before applying for a loan. That's right, right? She's on her way to applying for something.
Yeah, she's hoping to get a new car.
Oh, a new car, right. So always good practice to just kind of do your own peeking at your score before you apply. Because if there is like a huge problem or you need to repair your credit score, you can do that before the lenders get a look at your score. And then you can apply with more confidence. And that's a wrap. Thank you so much, Ashley. Thank you, Phil. Thank you, Mitali, Taylor, Caitlin, Phil. Again, high five, man. Getting an almost 30% raise and not having to negotiate for it. That's kind of the best case scenario. I would love to find out. Email me and tell me if you know, like what prompted it. Because that's pretty awesome. I mean, usually if you get a review, you get maybe 5% raise, 10% would be like really good, 30% almost. That's pretty awesome. So keep in touch and let me know the deets. All right, Sophia, hope you have a great weekend in Connecticut. Everyone else, hope you have a great weekend enjoying, relaxing the almost summer. It's pretty much summer, right? We can say that.
June 21st
is the official summer start, and that is also Evan's birthday. He's a solstice baby. And I'll see y'all back here on Monday. Thanks so much and have a So Money weekend. Hosting the So Money podcast for almost 10 years, I've been learning a lot about how to best serve you outside the show. I've begun to offer pop-up workshops and a So Money members club. And with each new line of business, a lot goes on behind every transaction. Stripe helps simplify and ease payments with tap to pay on iPhone, which helps me grow revenue and reach through accepting more in-person contactless payments when I'm out in real life promoting my programs. Tap to pay on iPhone and Stripe give me the ability to scale quickly and stay flexible with quick setup and no additional hardware required. And it's not just ideal for me. From local pop-ups to global retailers, Tap to pay on iPhone and Stripe help businesses of all sizes accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. Whether your customers want to use their card, Apple Pay, or other digital wallet, now you can accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. To learn how Tap to pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone. For the longest time, I dreaded buying bras. It was like shopping for jeans. Impossible. You want a bra that's sexy? You want a bra that's comfortable? You can't have both. Well, now you can, thanks to Third Love. Third Love was started to take all the frustration, the ick, the ugh, out of bra shopping. That's why they make solutions for every bra problem or problem. Their bras make it easy to bring back perkiness you haven't seen since high school. Get smoothing, you know where, and have straps that actually stay put. Designed at their headquarters in San Francisco and made with premium materials, they put every style through hours of wear testing on real women, including themselves, before it's given the stamp of boob approval. Comfort and support are guaranteed. Plus, whether you're a AA cup or an H cup, their virtual fitting room will help you find your perfect fit fast. They even invented half cups. No more feeling stuck between two cup sizes that don't fit. It's time to get your problems solved. Visit thirdlove.com and get $15 off your order with the code podcast15.